one of the pleasures of assembling together as a congregation is to sing the Lord's praise. It is always a delight for God's people to celebrate the greatness of our God. Now, I know some preachers who think that their sermon is the greatest thing that happens on Sunday morning. But in reality, their sermons will not be needed one day. But our singing will never stop. So if you enjoy the singing, the celebration of God, you are doing something that you will never have to stop. It'll always be with you through endless ages. I got to thinking about that the other day, and just out of curiosity, asked myself the question, how many times does the Word of God command us to sing? How many times is there an imperative verb in conjunction with the word sing? Well, I was stunned. That's the only word for it. So let's look. In Exodus chapter 15, the first of those references in Scripture, in Exodus 15, we have the great song of Moses and the children of Israel. And you are well familiar with that. I have preached on that text before. But drop down to verse 21 in that context. The text says, "And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." And so here Miriam picks up in antiphonal voice what the men have been singing in the first part of that chapter, and uses the imperative form, sing ye to the Lord. Well, they were doing that. But it's interesting that she here responds that way, and all the women, in antiphonal singing, which was one of the characteristics of the Hebrew singing. It was often an antiphonal, answering kind of singing. Now, this tells us at that early time, singing was a very important part of the worship of the Israelites. And that comes at a time of remarkable significance, when the Lord has delivered them from Egypt, brought them out through the Red Sea, and by this miraculous action set them free from the slavery in the land of Egypt and opened up before them the possibilities of service of God now as free people. It's a marvelous occasion, and it's here marked by the first of these imperative forms of the verb, sing. Now, this tells us that from very earliest times, that was an extremely important part of the worship of Israel. Now, let's turn to the book of Psalms. Obviously, this is one that has a great many directions in it concerning singing, because all of the Psalms are songs. Every one of them was sung in the temple worship. They were written as songs by David and the other sweet psalmists of Israel. And assuredly, they are meant to be sung as part of our expression of worship and praise to God. In Psalm 30 and verse 4, David says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Now, this was the song at the dedication of David's house. And assuredly, this was a psalm that he felt very keenly about. But in verse 4, he gives us that imperative command. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. All saints, everyone who names the name of the Lord as his Lord and Savior. He should be singing unto the Lord, celebrating his praise, giving thanks at the remembrance of the character of God. His holiness and righteousness and justice and love, all the other attributes that God has. We should be singing and celebrating these things before God. Now, each of the Psalms does this, and we can find that kind of praise and celebration of God in every one of the Psalms. But in Psalm 33, verse 2, the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord with harp. sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. So here we are to praise God as well as sing to him. Praise him with musical instruments. And so all those who play musical instruments in church are doing so with the express command of God to celebrate God through instrumental music as well as through the song that is sung. In verse 2, praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery, the instrument of 10 strings, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. And so here is the stress on singing fresh praises to God, not just old songs, which are often our favorite and for good reason, but sing to him a new song, spontaneous praise, celebration for the latest blessing that God has brought upon us. Think of ways in which to praise his name in a new way because of new blessings that continue to come upon his people just constantly. Dropping down to verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth. Everything that he does is perfect. Everything that God accomplishes is worthy of praise, worthy of singing. And we should be thinking of this daily as we celebrate how great he is. In Psalm 66, verse 2, the psalmist says, sing unto him a new song. Now, that tells us again, be innovative in the way we praise God. Celebrate his greatness. And in verse 3, he goes on to say, say unto God, how terrible, that is awesome, art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. And so he takes it to the awesome power of God. We can sing how great he is, how marvelous are his works, even accomplishing his purpose in the face of the opposition of his enemies. In verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. So here is the prophecy of the great millennial reign that is yet to come, that all upon the earth shall worship God. We don't have that situation today. We sing his praises and worship him here this day. There are a great many people right here in Greenville who are not in church, who have no intentions of celebrating God's praise, who are going their own way, doing their own thing, and have no care for God at all. But we assemble together because we worship and praise him. And this is most proper for us to do. It is a testimony to the whole community that we are here celebrating the greatness of God, praising God for his mighty works on our behalf. It's a very important part of our testimony. In Psalm 68 and verse 4, David again says, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. That is the first syllable of the word Jehovah. Jehovah is salvation. And so the name of God should be celebrated and praised because of his greatness and the marvelous works that he accomplishes in behalf of his people. In that same psalm, and dropping down to verse 32, David says, sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. So here he addresses whole nations. Sing praise to God. So we do well as Americans to celebrate God by the traditional hymns of faith that our forebears have sung to God. The Thanksgiving season, there are many that are traditional songs in our country. And here is that command again. Whole nations should be singing the praises of God because of his blessing. If God's hand of blessing dried up, our country would shrivel away. And unfortunately, many of the inhabitants of the land have no perception of that at all. But we understand that, and therefore should be exceedingly zealous in our celebration of the praise of God. In Psalm 81 and verse 1, a psalm of Asaph this time, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. Yes, a command to sing the praise of God, to use instruments as well as voices in celebrating the greatness of God. How marvelous is our opportunity that we can sing, and God would be interested enough to listen. It is not because we are such skilled musicians. It is because He delights in the singing of His people. You do not have to have a marvelous voice to praise God. You do not have to have musical ability to praise God. The desire in the heart, He accepts, even if your voice is the croaking of an old crow. Don't worry about it. Sing anyway. God is pleased to hear you sing. Do not think that that should be left only to professional musicians. Though, of course, professional musicians ought to be using their skills in the celebration of God. In Psalm 95 and verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. We have the highest motivation for singing His praises. He is the one true God in the universe. He is to be exalted above all other objects of worship, whoever or whatever they may be. He is the true God who deserves our celebration and our praise. In Psalm 96, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. So here, three times over, we are commanded to sing His praises, to bless His name, because of that great salvation that He has provided for us. When we stop and consider that we who were poor, miserable sinners, doomed, now He is transformed into saints that He is going to treasure forever, it should cause us to be singing His praises, celebrating how great He is and what marvelous love He has manifested to us in that salvation. In Psalm 98, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm, hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Yes, singing to the Lord a new song because of the salvation that He has provided for us. How great is His marvelous grace in cleansing us from sin, setting our feet upon the solid rock, and enabling us to sing His praises on our way homeward to His presence. In verse 5, sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Yes, celebrate Him with voice and with musical instruments, praising His name, singing how great He is because of His marvelous grace manifested to us. In Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Yes, again we are commanded to praise Him, to come before His presence not merely with spoken words and prayers, but with the song of the heart, singing how great He is, celebrating His love and His attributes of mercy that we see daily poured out upon us. In Psalm 105 and verse 2, sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We should sing because we are rejoicing. We should be a happy people because of that salvation that He has provided for us. Why should we be sorrowful when God has washed us from our sins, set before us the promise of eternal ages of glory and celebration in His presence? How marvelous that we have such things to praise Him for and to sing about in His presence. In Psalm 147 and verse 7, the psalmist says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth the beast his food to the young ravens which cry. So here is celebrating the Lord because of his bountiful provision. For men and for animals, he constantly provides the needs of life for all that are upon the earth. And we should be singing with thanksgiving before of that. And we should be talking about his marvelous works, how great he is, how abundant his provision on our behalf. Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Yes, here is more reasons to sing his praise and celebrate how great he is. He takes pleasure in his people. Sometimes we must confess we don't give him much pleasure. We tend to be self-centered and forgetful of his mercies, but here it says he takes pleasure in his saints. The little bit that we do before him, he accepts. How wonderful that he is listening to our praises and willing to hear the croaking of our poor voices before him. In Psalm 150 and verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The whole book of Psalms is just filled with celebration and praise of God. And that is instructive. The longest book in the Bible, 150 chapters, is a book filled with the singing of praise. That's very important for us to understand. Our singing of hymns in church is not just an add-on. It is a vital part of what we are doing. The music that is here is very important to us. Now, friends, that is one of the major reasons that in churches that go bad, in most cases it's the music that goes bad first. That may be a strange idea, but it certainly is factual. When the singing fails, the heart devotion fails. The church that can't sing the old hymns and can't praise God according to the standards given in Scripture, there's something in its nature that is going to disintegrate, and the whole church is going to go down. So, friends, for me, I rejoice in the singing of this congregation. You folks lift your voices and hearts to God and sing praise, and I rejoice in that. It tells me that there is a strong faith in God's word, a submission to what it teaches, a surrender to the instruction of Scripture that is going to mean God's blessing upon this church. Now, the Psalms are only part of the celebration in Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 5, Isaiah commands, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. In chapter 26 and verse 19, awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Isaiah 42:10. So the prophet Isaiah underscores this same responsibility of singing God's praise. Jeremiah commands, sing unto the Lord. Jeremiah 20, verse 13. Sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. So the prophets also underscore in their preaching the necessity of singing God's praises before the Lord. And what many people don't realize is that many of the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah are all in poetic form. It is Hebrew poetry, well suited for being sung. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul exhorts in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and following, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It is part of our Christian responsibility as New Testament believers to be singing in our hearts to the Lord, not just witnessing for him, not just passing out tracts for him, but singing for him. Why? because the world oftentimes has no grounds for singing at all. The world is oftentimes utterly despondent. And when we as believers sing, they're oftentimes stunned. What have we got to sing about? We have an awful lot about God to sing about. And we ought to have that testimony, that even in times of adversity and difficulty and trial, we can lift our voices before God and sing His praises because of who He is, as well as all that He is doing on our behalf. In Colossians 3:16, the Apostle Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Yes, the word of Christ, that holy word that we have in the Scriptures, ought to be in our hearts, not just in our minds and heads. We need to have these songs upon our heart, singing, praising His name, because in doing this, the grace of the Lord increases in the life of the believer. His blessed pleasure in the believer increases, and it's something that we all ought to pay special attention to. Now, in the book of Revelation, John describes the songs of the saints and angels in glory. In Revelation chapter 5, it says in verse 8, "When he had taken the scroll," the Lamb had taken the scroll, "the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Here the assembly of the saints and the angels before the very throne of God, and they are singing, worshiping God. There's not a preaching session going on there. There's no further need of preaching. Every saint there will have all of God's word in his heart and perfect conformity to the whole revelation of God. But the singing now can express fully what the saints try to do here. We sing feebly here, but there we shall sing as we ought to. And we'll sing with full understanding of God's holy word, understanding of His great presence, of His marvelous character, His virtues, His power, His majesty. We will fully comprehend it, and we will be able to sing as God deserves. That is something to look forward to, my friends. It is something that we ought to be thinking of now, because when we sing here, it is merely a foretaste of what we are going to experience there in the presence of God and with His approval. Can you imagine being able to sing without ever a false note? Being able to sing without ever missing the words? Being able to sing with perfect harmony with all others who are singing, in voices blended in absolute perfection, and with an angelic chorus increasing what is going on beyond our abilities to comprehend now? What a marvelous thing awaits those who belong to the Lord. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 3, describes how the 144,000 sung a new song before the throne and before the four living beings and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Friends, did you ever think of the fact that some of the things that you have to go through, some of the suffering that you would like to be free from, is going to enable you to sing what you otherwise could never sing? You have to suffer some things to be able to praise God appropriately. You have to go through certain experiences on earth before you're able to sing with understanding and perception of how great God is and what His mercy really means to us. And so when the hard places in the pathway comes, do not despair and do not stop the singing, because those hard places are the places in which your character is being forged and your ability to sing in glory is being heightened. And those hard places will become the grounds of great celebration in heaven, for God's grace will carry you through every last hard place. There is not a one that His grace is insufficient for. And your singing will mount up even greater in glory because of those difficult trials and the hard places in the pathway. The singing will be more triumphant because God's grace has been greater in every category. The Song of Moses in chapter 15 is the way the theme ends. And I think that's very significant that in Exodus it was the Song of Moses that started out this theme of singing. And in chapter 15, verse 3, the saints sing the Song of Moses, the servant of God, and the Song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Think of that. The Song of Moses, the great hymns of the past, the songs and hymns that we love to sing here, and the Song of the Lamb, which we have not yet learned, blending together the melodies and the singing of the past with the extemporaneous praise of the Lamb in the present in heaven, blending together the music of the past, the spontaneous music of the present occasion, the celebration of God, and it is endless. It shall never be diminished. My friends, we are commanded to sing. Let us take that as a special privilege and rejoice in being able to praise God for who He is and all that He has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worth singing about. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for the privilege of song. How we thank Thee for the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the ministry of the Spirit of God. And we ask that Thou wilt help us here, that we may sing Thy praise as we ought to, and celebrate Thy greatness from the heart. And Lord, by Thy grace, give us a foretaste of that blessed scene in glory when we shall sing perfectly. For Jesus' sake, Amen.